Well, thank you, Sleepy. Come back in an hour.
Need Sleepy.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning to everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right on this fine Monday morning. I want to give a special shout out to all of our viewers on Fight TV. And if you're not watching us on Fight TV, why not? Because you can get Fight TV on your handheld, including your phone. Just go to fight.tv, that's FITE.TV/Billy C. Download the app right now for free and enjoy the show on Fight TV, along with some other great shows and pay-per-view opportunities. They have all the big events up on Fight TV, so check it out. Fight.tv/Billy C. Download the app today. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located in St. Simons Island, Georgia. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. And don't forget, if you're heading north or south on I-95, it's a 15-minute detour out your way. Trust me, it'll be a well worth your while stop to enjoy the finest Italian cuisine at Sal's restaurant. For the address, just check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or drop me an email, billy@talkingboxing, TalkinBoxing.com. Don't forget, mark it down. In the middle of August, we are going to be doing an event down there, a golf outing. We're going to break all the details to you soon. So if you want to get on board, email me right now, because we're going to take some lists and get you involved with our golf tournament. Hey, and by the way, I suck at golf. So I don't think you got to be a Tiger Woods to play. You know, we're just going to have some fun. We're actually planning a whole week worth of activities and festivities. A lot of ivities. So drop me an email, billy@talkingboxing. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by the Turning Stone Resort and Casino and their next boxing event, which is this Saturday. David Lemieux is taking on Curtis Stevens in the main event. It's going to be an HBO broadcast. I'm going to be ringside. I want you to be ringside, too. Get yourself some tickets by visiting our website, billycboxing.com, and click on the fight poster, which is right on the right-hand side. Now, as a result, we will not be doing a post-fight show, so I apologize for that. Very successful with our post-fight shows, but this time I'll be ringside. So I want you to be ringside with me. So get yourself some tickets and drop me an email once you do, and let me know where you're going to be so we can hook up and talk some boxing. And finally, today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molineaux, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all good books are sold, and you can literally get a copy of it right now by visiting Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Find out why we got a 5-star rating across the board. Hey, by the way, you like fantasy games? You like sports fantasy games? Check out FireFan. Use our code, sign up for free, and win some money. It's that simple. Just click the banner on BillyCBoxing.com. It's on the left-hand side. We got our final thoughts on the Keith Thurman-Danny Garcia fight that took place this weekend. I want to thank everybody that called in and or watched our post-fight show. We were extremely happy with the turnout, so I want to thank everybody for that. Keith Thurman defeated Danny Garcia. And then the best thing, and Dax actually, you know, normally I don't like to ruin the fight results if I don't see a fight live. But I was so glad that Dax did, because Tony Bello knocked out who I've been calling a fraud for years, David Haye, in the 11th round in England. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I got some emails to read. I got some news about Floyd that I'm beside myself about it. But joining me right now is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sal Rocky Senicola. What's up, Sal?
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you today, buddy?
Oh, not too bad.
Not too bad doesn't mean it's not too good.
Well, it doesn't mean it's too bad either, you know. But listen, I just, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Danny Garcia Keith Thurman fight, or rightly so, I should say, the Keith Thurman Danny Garcia fight. I got a chance to watch it again, and I also, let some of the fights sink in. You know, when you do a post fight show immediately after, or if you're talking about the fight immediately after, you can't help but have some emotions in it. But you know, after rewatching the fight, now originally I had the fight even. I did admit on Saturday's post fight show that I did lean towards Danny Garcia in a couple of the earlier rounds with his counter punching. I thought he landed harder shots and what have you. But when I watched the fight again, you know, I got to be honest, I really didn't change my mind much. I ended up giving Keith Thurman one of the rounds, and my score ended up the same as two of the three judges, 115-113, but in favor of Keith Thurman. My man Larry Hazard scored it 116-112. You had it 117-111. Did you get a chance to rewatch it, and has your opinion changed?
I would like to do that, because as you said, when you're initially watching it, you might be full of emotion, maybe a knee-jerk response. But as I said, I tried to be as objective as I could when I was watching it, because I did want Danny Garcia to win. So if anything, I was being biased towards Danny, but I just saw Keith Thurman with the larger punch output and closing the rounds and trying to steal those rounds with the combinations. And Danny Garcia did win a few of those rounds, but I think some of the rounds that he was ahead, I think Keith tried to show up and take them away in the end. And that's where I had some of that wide margin where I scored it for Keith Thurman.
You know, I think what bothered me on Saturday, and it always bothers me when I'm watching as a fan, but I understand it from the perspective of the fighter, and let's be safe, not stupid, where he was, you know, just basically dancing around the ring and you know, throwing a punch here or there just to win the round. But my hang up there, Sal, is you never know what the judges are seeing or thinking. You never know what's on the paper. And quite honestly, you know, if you're going to do that, and if it's a 12-round fight and you feel you're up 10 rounds to none and you want to coast the last two rounds, that's fine. But in this case, similar to what happened with Oscar De La Hoya in a couple of his fights, you know, when you start to coast thinking you got the fight in the bag and you end up losing it. And this fight, you know, at the end of the night, it got close. I mean, you know, whether you scored at 115-113 or even 116-112, I mean, you know, those last couple of rounds that Keith Thurman just danced around could have ruined it for him. I mean, what's your thoughts on that philosophy and strategy?
Well, it's so funny you should say that, because I don't believe in that strategy. I believe if you're that far ahead and you know beyond a reason of a doubt, yeah, you're gonna want to make sure you don't get cut but you don't try to play it ultra safe where you're not going to be within punching distance. You may want to try to avoid some infighting. You may want to try to just cut the ring off and do things, but no, you don't want to take 2-3 rounds off, because Danny Garcia, I think I wrote, said in a chat room that he was probably going to need a knockout by the 9th round, or at least a couple 10-8 rounds. And you know, fortunately for Keith, those rounds never materialized for Danny Garcia.
Yeah,
but I don't believe in it. I don't think you should take off the whole round.
Yeah,
consecutive rounds, I'll say.
Yeah, but by the ninth, you know, the last two rounds, obviously, on my card anyway, even the second time I did it, I gave both of those rounds to Danny Garcia. Some of those early rounds were close. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, yes, I the first time I scored it, I gave one of them to Danny Garcia, which resulted in a 114-114 score. When I rewatched it, I flip-flopped one of the rounds, and I gave it to Thurman, which resulted in a 115-113 score. which I thought was pretty accurate. I mean, the judges had it like that. I mean, one had it 116-112, but I don't know. That's still a relatively close fight. It's not a blowout, you know. I don't know. I think it's a dangerous I get it. I understand. But I think it's a very dangerous approach for a fighter. And at that point, I really didn't think that Keith Thurman got hurt at all by Danny Garcia. And Danny Garcia just, it wasn't, he didn't have it that night. He just didn't have it, you know. And I don't know. Hey, listen, this is all hindsight. We're playing Monday morning quarterback. At the end of the night, Keith Thurman won. He remains undefeated at 28-0 with 22 knockouts. And Danny Garcia loses for the first time in his career. He drops to 33-1. So congratulations to Keith Thurman. One thing that has been bothering me about the media and the way that they're defining this fight, this was a title unification fight. It unified two of the gazillion belts out there, all right? So Keith Thurman is now the WBC and WBA World Welterweight Champion. There were several writers and several articles written about this fight referring to Keith Thurman now as the unified World Welterweight Champion, which is not correct. We still have, if you're going to count the other two major sanctioning bodies, we still have Kell Brook as a world title holder and Manny Pacquiao as a world title holder. So, as far as I'm concerned, Keith Thurman is a unified champion, but he's not the unified world welterweight champion. What do you think?
Well, I would just say he is not the undisputed unified world champion.
Right.
Because, he's got, there's a couple other belts out there. Thanks to the powers that may be, belting everybody, belting, get it, hitting, belting. I like that anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, just stick to your restaurant business. Stay away from this.
I try to write this material myself. Maybe I need someone else to start.
Maybe you should flip over and write some more on your other side of your hand next time, you know, because I know you're not using paper. Hey, let me just get some other of the fights out of the way. On that card, Erickson Lubin improved to 18-0 with 13 knockouts when he knocked out Jorge Cota. In the fourth round, what a devastating knockout that was. 1 minute and 25 seconds. Now he has earned the spot to challenge for the 154-pound title owned by the WBC. Andres Fonfara stopped Chad Dawson in the 10th round to improve to 29 wins, 4 losses, with 17 coming by knockout. You know, Fonfara, you know, he's not a world beater, but he's a tough guy, and he's got himself right back into the picture despite his last fight where Joe Smith Jr. knocked him out. But Chad Dawson has really, this was a guy regarded at one time as a pound-for-pound top fighter. He's now 34-5 with 19 knockouts, and he should hang him up because now he's just become a proverbial punching bag.
Say it. A journeyman. An opponent.
Well, a journeyman. According to HBO, after you have 4 fights, you're a journeyman. So, 4 losses. So, yeah. 38 seconds of the 10th round is when it was over for Chad. And Sergey Lipinets improved to 12-0 with 10 knockouts when he stopped Clarence Booth, who drops to 14-3 in the 7th round of their scheduled 8-round fight in the junior welterweight division. But the fight that I loved the most, and I even loved it more when I watched it, you know, like I said when I opened the show, normally I don't appreciate when I get the results of a fight told to me before I got to watch it. But Dax made my day when he called me and told me the results before I got to see it. Tony Bella knocks out David Haye in the 11th round to improve to 29 wins, 2 losses, and a draw in their heavyweight fight. Now, keep in mind, Bella was the WBC Cruiserweight Champion. On Saturday night in London, I watched the fight over the week, actually yesterday. And, I have been saying that David Haye is a fraud. All right, now, you could say what you want. He accomplished the heavyweight, winning the heavyweight division after he was a cruiserweight champion. He moved out of the cruiserweight champion to avoid the toughest fight in that division at that time. You know, when he was supposed to fight Christoph Lodzarek to unify the title, and he ended up moving up. Now, he fought a bunch of journeyman heavyweights and finally got himself a position to win the world heavyweight title in a fight with Nikolai Valuev, which I felt to this day he lost, that was an extremely close fight, but he lost. And then when he finally fought Klitschko, he looked like a fool. I mean, he's a chump, he's a fraud, all right? And when I watched him, and that's my opinion. Now, when I watched him fight Tony Bello, right, what I saw, Sal, was a guy that looked like, let me just say this. I've watched Conor McGregor sparring footage that looked like he's got more boxing talent than David Haye. David Haye was lunging for. I thought I was watching. Who's the guy over there that everybody fights? He's at the tip of my tongue. And when Dax is going to come on a little bit later. He fights everyone. He's a tough guy, but he just lunged forward. He had no stance, nothing. You know, he just looked pathetic, lunging like he was going to knock out. You see, this is what happens when guys get that labeled as a one-punch knockout guy. And David Haye, he looked winded. You know, he's lunging forward. Tony Bello just leaned back and avoided punches and stuff. And then, you know, there was a knockdown. That was a knockdown that the referee called a slip for David Haye. When he got up, he was staggering around, and he said, and the referee's calling it a slip. I mean, I didn't enjoy
it.
I can't remember how much I enjoyed watching somebody get broken down and beaten as much as I did with David Haye on Saturday night. So kudos to Tony Bello. I know the Brits aren't too fond of either one of these two guys. Well, for some reason, they buy into it. The best part of this, though, Sal, was David Haye was saying before the fight that after he knocks out Tony Bello, that all the heavyweights that want to be, you know, major guys, major stars, have to come to him. He was saying that Anthony Joshua has to come to him. Deontay Wilder has to come to him and all this stuff. And I'm saying to myself, you know, the guy never proved anything in the heavyweight division. Now all of a sudden they have to go to him? Well, guess what? Hopefully we have seen the final end of David the Fraud Haye, and I couldn't be happier. Did you get to see the fight?
I did not get to see that fight, but I will be seeing it today. And I will tell you this, congratulations, because your suspicion was revealed.
Hey, wait, I don't mean to interrupt.
What was revealed.
I don't mean to interrupt.
And David Haye.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I want you to finish your thought, but Dax obviously reads my mind because he just, in the chat room, wrote the guy that I was thinking of, Derek Chisora. He looked just like Derek Chisora. I mean, Derek Chisora, a tough guy, wants to fight everybody, goes in there to fight, but really has no skill. David Haye looked like he was doing the Derek Chisora, you know, imitation, because that's the way he was fighting. But go ahead. What were you saying, Sal? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say congratulations, because what your suspicions revealed the other night was that David Haye was exposed, and he was defeated, and Tony Bello, and you know, that was great. I like when our suspicions could be exposed when we see a fighter become known for what they are.
Well, you know,
by a superior opponent.
Well, you know, that the thing that bothers me the most, and you know, I got criticized by, you know, saying it about Keith Thurman, you know, pounding his chest, and I use that term, pounding his chest. Well, this is you know, my point. You know, David Haye says all the time how great he is and how important it is to fight him and stuff. And then he lays an egg. And what bothers me is that there are actually fans that buy into that crap, you know, and as the human race collectively, I don't care. You know, what country you're from, what color you are, what religion you believe in, what your political stance is. We're all humans. You know, we all bleed red blood. You know, and the truth of the matter is this. You know, don't friggin' discredit us as collectively, as a whole, our intelligence, as human beings, and buy into that shenanigans. You might as well. It's like a circus, you know. You know, is that clown real? You know, I mean, come on. You know,
is that really
happening? I don't know.
Well, you know, and then in all due defense to the fighters, this is their career, so they are trying to market themselves. And if they put on a little show to trying to get the media to bite down on it. Like I said, the media doesn't report the news. They stimulate and create it. So, hypothetically, you know, hey, it was so funny because as soon as the season was made, they went to Keith Thurman with the cameras, and he was standing on a rope pounding his chest. I could only think of you. But you know what? I could say Philly's going to watch this one. But he was pounding his chest.
You know,
and, you know what? Rightfully so, though. He beat Danny Garcia.
No, I mean, listen. Pounding your chest after a war, you know, I'm not going to criticize. But when you're pounding your chest after... Now, Keith Thurman deserved to pound his chest a bit after beating Danny Garcia because it was a significant fight.
It was
a significant fight for both of them. It was a significant fight for the sport. It was a significant fight for the division they fight in. I mean, I give him okay. I don't care that he pounds his chest after that. He deserved it, you know. But when you're pounding your chest before that, you know, and you know, you're beating up, you know, like when Floyd Mayweather knocks out one of his girlfriends and pounds his chest that he's a badass. You know, I mean, come on. But anyway, hey, also on that card,
before we get off that, when we can come back, you tell me when. I just have one question for you about that fight, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, but we'll get to it. You go ahead.
I just want to finish up on that card, and you know, the other thing is, you know, pounding the chest and you're saying, but didn't anybody ever read the book, The Boy Who Cried Wolf? You know, that's what these guys are doing. You know, I mean, are we really supposed to believe that it's going to happen? You know, and if the fans need, I believe that good fights don't require the BS pounding in the chest leading up to it. Danny Garcia against Keith Thurman was a good fight. It had the significance. Like I said, people are going to buy tickets for it anyway. You know, you don't see Klitschko or Anthony Joshua pounding the chest, but they sold out in minutes. They added extra room for that fight. You know, they had to get, you know, extra OKs from the city to bring in more people so that the city could handle it. You know, I mean, and they didn't pound their chests or anything. I mean, the significance of certain fights carry the weight by itself. You don't need to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. One thing that is disheartening about the David Haye, Tony Bellew fight is the excuse is already in that he injured his leg. And, the last time when he lost to Klitschko, he injured his toe. He puts it up on the podium. Listen, if you're that hurt, and Manny Pacquiao, we've talked about this a million times. You know, Manny Pacquiao, no one wanted to see him beat Floyd Mayweather more than myself. But at the end of the day, I criticized Manny Pacquiao for using an excuse why he lost to Floyd. Floyd beat him. If you're not 100% and you're in a big, huge fight, you don't fight. You say, hey, we got to postpone the fight. I injured myself. I did this. I did that. David Haye was in a significant fight against Tony Bellew, at least on paper. And if he injured his leg, he should have postponed the fight. End of story. Don't use it as an excuse.
Declare it before the fight. My leg a little sore.
Just in case I lose. You know, Deontay Wilder did the same crap. Let's see how my hand holds up. You know, I mean, don't embed an excuse just in case. Just in case.
Well, and that's it. You know, they're trying to take out an insurance policy, like, just in case I flaw tonight. By the way, my hand was a little sore.
Yeah, you know, and listen, I always go to Tommy the Hitman Hearns when he fights in arguably the best three rounds of boxing I ever saw live, when he fought Marvin Hagler. He breaks his hand on Hagler's head. Never once did he complain that his hand was broken till years later.
No.
Years.
No.
You know, he didn't even tell his trainer. You know, so, I mean, come on. You know, but anyway, on the undercard of Tony Bellew, another big mouth who, you know, really has never proved anything in the ring, in my opinion. And finally, I hope he never gets back in the ring again. And he's tarred at awful. You know, did I say awful? Showtime boxing commentary group. Paulie Malignaggi got knocked the F out by Sam Eggington. Eggington improved to 20-3 with 12 knockouts. Not known to be a knockout puncher, but yet he knocks out, not TKO, knocked out Paulie Malignaggi with a body shot that made Polinaggi cry like a little bitch that he is. Paulie Malignaggi drops at 37-8 with 7 knockouts. And remember something, Paulie Malignaggi talks a big game, but then he just can't put. Now, as a commentator, Paulie's on. I like Paulie, but as a fighter, never liked him. Never liked him as a fighter, and I hope this is finally the end. He's retired more times than you have, Sal. But
I was just gonna say,
Lee Selby improved to 24-1 with 9 knockouts when he scored his 9th knockout against Andoni Gago in a fight that did not have Selby's IBF featherweight title on the line. Those were the big fights from the weekend. I got a couple of emails to read about this fight. First and foremost, this was from my man Angel from Madison, Wisconsin. He says, "Hola, Señor C. I give props to Garcia for taking the fight and stepping up against Keith Thurman. But Thurman did enough to win the fight. Danny, I thought, looked confused and not into this fight. I thought that for a big fight, he looked off. My question to you and Sal is, would Danny be better off changing his camp? Is his father's personality going to hamper Danny?" Good question, Angel. Sal and I actually talked about this on our post-fight show. And, you know, at this stage of the game, Sal, I know that some people, you know, would maybe bring someone in or change their camps. We've seen it in the past. To me, Danny Garcia, he's only going to fight with his pops. Maybe this is the end for those two. I mean, what's your thoughts?
I think they could probably bring somebody in addition to just his father being there, and this is the only word. They need to bring a top-notch guy that can assess and see what the father doesn't see and instill. And, you know, like I said, I didn't see any sense of urgency from the corner or out of Danny Garcia. You're an undefeated fighter. You're fighting to unify some portion of the championship belts. And there was just no sense of urgency. He didn't cut the ring off at all. He followed Keith around. And I didn't see really any combinations that were effective from Danny Garcia. Not too many from Keith Thurman either. And most of all, Danny Garcia did not have a plan B. Like I said the other night, Keith Thurman was cruising along. He didn't need to change up his fight game too much, but Danny certainly needed to reshuffle and rethink the cards. Hey, I think we got to do something to step it up a little bit. Let me try something else. And his corner should have outlined and recognized that and say, hey, Danny, remember, we're working on this. We're working on that. Let's do this. Drop that. Feint here. Do this. Step to the right. You don't see any of that. You don't hear any of that. And, you know, one of the things I was going to ask, do you think that initial thundering right hand from Keith Thurman made the imprint of the fight early on? I don't know. We won't know. And I don't think Danny will even tell us if it did. But I think that, you know, Danny almost had a short night, but he recovered. But who the hell knows how that dictated the rest of the fight?
You know, Danny's got a granite chin.
And Danny's approach.
Danny's got a granite chin. He was a little off balance. Obviously, the punch landed solidly. Staggered Danny Garcia, but you know, he didn't. That was the closest to a knockdown he's ever suffered. You know, Keith Thurman should have tried to jump all over him, which he did.
Well,
he tried, but Danny had the wherewithal to hold him and you know, regain his senses, so to speak. But I think it was a combination of a powerful shot by Keith Thurman and Danny being a little off balance made it look worse than what it was. But at the end of the day, you know, Danny Garcia didn't change his game plan. We said this Saturday night. You know, I saw some comments from the viewers on our post-fight show that said that Keith Thurman did change his game plan, which was contradicting what I said. They said he changed his game plan. He went to movement, which, you know, basically was running around the ring. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, for guys that talk as much smack how they're going to destroy somebody, then they go fight. Boxing's become safety first. And the excitement level, I mean, there are actually people that watched the Thurman-Garcia fight, Sal, that thought it was exciting, that thought it was a great fight, that it was a historical fight. You know, and I just don't see it. Was it it was significant. That word, that's my word for the fight, significant. And it was a great win for Keith Thurman. Can't take nothing away. but it wasn't exciting. It, you know, it, yes, it had some peaks and valleys in it, but it wasn't exciting. It wasn't, you weren't on the edge of your seat for that fight, you know? I mean, it, you were waiting for something to happen, but you, and that's what's left the sport. The sport used to have fights that had you on the edge of your seat, had you standing. If you're watching it on TV, how many fights do you recall watching on TV that you're standing in front of the tube? You know, you know, I mean, you're standing.
Your mouth hanging over.
Right,
like,
and you're going, holy, you know what? You know, and it's like, you know, you're waiting. At you, and then, you know, in between rounds, you're sitting down like you're taking a minute break too. You know, I mean, you know, I mean.
I remember those fights.
I know. We don't have them anymore. And for fighters to and for fighter fans to watch these kinds of fights now and tell me, man, you know how they get on my case for being an old geezer. Poor Dax. Dax got beat up bad. They call him an old man.
Dax came out with both barrels of the shotgun.
Oh, God. He was...
No,
but some of the comments were calling Dax an old man. But anyway, I mean, you know, these kids today... We're, if they think that what we saw on Saturday was an exciting fight, I don't know. But I got another email. Go ahead.
One thing I just want to add, because I'm laughing to myself, you can hear. I guess my inside voice is coming out. I'm cracking up with you and Dax and even Larry Hazard, everybody else had to say, poor Ray Leonard had to endure what other people were commenting about. Well, Ray, doesn't it kind of remind you of you and Tommy Hearns? And Ray Leonard's like, yes, I was there that night. And tell you the truth, my inside voice is telling me this is no way to compare.
Oh, God. I want to know how much money Al Haymon and Showtime paid Sugar Ray Leonard to take. I think Sugar Ray Leonard took more of a beating that night than both Thurman and Danny Garcia combined. I mean, you know, to suggest that fight was equal to Tommy Hearns versus Sugar Ray Leonard is a joke, you know? The only thing that you could say was the same, and this is what I look at, is the significance. And, yes, there was a significance of the fight. But to keep comparing that, moreover, Nalo, I don't know anybody that likes him. Well, wait a minute. I think our man Joel likes listening to him, but this guy is piss poor. But anyway, I got another couple of emails, and then Dax is scheduled to come on in about 5 minutes. I just hope he doesn't use any foul language. But anyway, this is from my man Willie, our greatest Welsh fan. He says, "Hey Billy C, I enjoyed the Thurman Garcia fight, but I'm in full agreement with you and Sal that it was in by no means an epic fight. It was okay as fights goes these days, but I definitely saw it as a safety first approach, especially by Thurman. This fight was just not very exciting at all. I was horrified to hear it compared to the Leonard versus Hearns fight. Whoever said that needs their brains checked. All in all, just not exciting whatsoever. As it's been mentioned before, these boxers are all from the same camp, and they probably don't want to hurt each other, and they'll be interested in the big fat payday checks that they get, and who can blame them?" He's right. I mean, listen, when you put your financial or you know, business hat on, you know, I'm not going to criticize them from the business, but don't try to, you know, paint it, you know, red and tell me it's green. You know, I mean, come on. He says, "Now on to the circus side of things. I agree with your man Alex Papali. In the David Haye versus Bellew fight was much better entertainment. The fight had drama and tension and excitement. I was on the edge of my seat right up until the knockout, and that's what boxing needs these days. So hats off to Hello and Bellew. hats off to Haye and Bellew for a good thrilling bout, even though they are just a pair of clowns," which is true. He says, "I also loved the Katie Taylor fight. She looked so good in there. She has great style and speed, and that left hook of hers just kept coming. I'm looking forward to watching her future bouts. It seems to me like there's a good future ahead for women's boxing." You know, I'm sure Dax Khan would agree with you, Willie. And we'll see. You know, listen, what made women's boxing good when I was involved with it pretty hot and heavy was the fact that the women fighters seemed to fight the fights. They weren't backing away from anybody. You know, you had two top fighters and they would fight each other. Now all of a sudden it's taken the same course as the men. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, if they fight the real fights and put the best against the best, that's what women's boxing needs. Unfortunately, it's not what we're getting with some of them. But anyway, finally, this one's from Harold. He says, hey, Billy C., great show as always. I've been a fan of your show for the past 4 years. Keep up the great work. He says, I believe Conor McGregor has many advantages over Floyd that'll give him the edge in the ring. I know you don't follow the UFC, so you're not familiar with Conor's unique attributes that can help him succeed against Floyd, but I can assure you that they do exist. He stands 5'9" with a 74-inch reach compared to Floyd's 5'8" and 72-inch reach. Conor's not only physically bigger, he's also very agile and has fast feet, which helps him go in and out of range. Conor has mastered the science of hitting while not getting hit, and he gets back into position to hit again. Floyd won't have much success initiating any holding and clinching because MMA fighters are specialists in avoiding that and also fighting in and off of a clinch. This will force Floyd to rely on his combination punching, but it will leave him open and leave his head as a still target. It will be nearly impossible for Mayweather to find sparring partners in preparation to emulate McGregor's style. Since Conor has no prior boxing fights, he will have the surprise advantage, which will help him in the first half of the fight. I expect Floyd to make the adjustments so Conor's best opportunities will present themselves before the adjustments are made. From his 21 wins, 18 are by knockout, so his power is going to come into effect. His power is real, and it showed when he moved up from 145 to 170 pounds in the two Nate Diaz fights. His southpaw style means Floyd's strongest defensive tool, which is, of course, the shoulder roll, will not come into play. I've been a diehard boxing fan my whole life, and it's no coincidence that Conor McGregor was the fighter that got me interested in watching UFC/MMA, because what I noticed first was the strong presence of his boxing style. Also, his presence of mind to call the shot like Babe Ruth and pick the round like Ali makes him entertaining and fun to watch. hey, some interesting points. You know, I all I'm going to say is I hope you're right, Harold. I really do. Nobody wants to see Floyd lose as much as me. And the only reason is because I feel that Floyd has taken advantage of us, the boxing fan, by not even showing us the best Floyd. Listen, you guys know I don't like Floyd Mayweather, but the truth of the matter is I honestly don't think we ever got to see the best Floyd Mayweather. The best Floyd Mayweather would have been a Floyd Mayweather that was in a rock'em sock'em, you know, death-type fight where he got to get up, where he was cut, where he was bleeding, and then come back and show how great he is. And we never got to see that. You know, but just to assume that it could have happened is wrong. You got to fight the fight. It has to take place. That's what puts you and etches you in stone in the history of the sport. And as far as Conor McGregor, I've only seen him. I have seen some of his MMA fights, which you got to admit, MMA is totally different than boxing. And I have seen him in, sparring sessions where he just does not look very good. He looks sort of like what David Haye looked against Tony Bello, and that's perfect for Floyd Mayweather. But listen, the fight hasn't even been signed, so we'll wait to see what happens there. But anyway, joining us right now, Sal, is the old man himself, according to a lot of the a lot of the viewers. Dax Khan. Dax Khan. He's aged over the since Saturday's post fight show. What's up, Dax?
Well, I'm having good a little boy. Bit of a tough day. The back, the bursitis.
Well, you know, you got to do. You got to
take a while.
You got to take that Geritol. You know, I mean, that's Sal's secret. You know, he takes Geritol twice a day, and that's
easy,
it.
Easy.
What's going on,
I
brother?
Take a shot of reality every day to keep myself young and active.
But as far as this weekend goes, start out quickly, you know, with David Haye and Tony Bello. You know, it amazes me at how many people change their tone. Before the fight, everybody disliked David Haye. Tony Bello was going to get wiped out. David Hay. It was rumored that he hurt his Achilles heel, and then David Hay comes out. There's several articles from credible sources where he said it was a ruse. I said that. It was a mind game. He comes into the fight. Yes, he does have the injury. It is legitimate, but from the opening bell, you know, when he kept his hands down, he didn't lift them up. David Hay thought, I'm going to come in. I hit him. He falls. I pound my chest. I talk about Joshua. I talk about Fury retiring because of me. I say that Wilder's scared of me, and then I am relevant for another 22 years. I come. I fight the guy. I leave again. You know, it's you're a bully. That's it. You lost. You were schooled. And that's it, you know, there's nothing more to it, and I really, the whole, but he was brave to last that long, you know, you ask for the fight, you're a bully on the schoolyard, you pick on the kid that's two grades below you, and all of a sudden the kid beats the crap out of you, are you brave because you didn't scream for your mommy? No, you got what you deserved, and that's what happened with David Hay. Hopefully now he's done, he's gone.
I hope so. I just have this feeling, you know, they're already writing about the injury. He, you know, he went in, he's got surgery. I mean, you know, the Brits buy into his shenanigans. I don't get it.
A lot of people do. It's not just the Brits. You know, a lot of people do. As far as the whole thing on Saturday about Thurman versus Garcia, all right, you know, now, again, people, they go overboard in sport. You know, now all of a sudden, Thurman, he should be a top 10 pound-for-pound fighter. Maybe he should, maybe he shouldn't, but there's already places that have him ranked above Leo Santa Cruz. They have him above Andre Ward. They have him above Sergey Kovalev. They even have him above Roman Gonzalez.
Wait a minute. You're talking about Keith Thurman?
Yes. And these, of course, are the unbiased computer rankings that go according to the level of competition in their resumes, yet I'm pretty sure he's got a decent resume, but nothing above those guys that I mentioned. You know, well, Andrew Garcia, he shows again that it's more about him than it is Danny. After the fight, he wants Danny to retire now that he has a loss. He's nobody's stepping stone. Yet Danny Garcia is fine with the loss. He said, I'll be back. It happens. He took it like a champion. There's nothing that you can say bad about that. On to the fight itself. A lot of people Saturday night on the show and afterwards were mad at me for what I said over social media, what I said on the show. They wonder why I was so harsh on Garcia and Thurman. They were mad because I called it as I seen it. It was a good fight for now, but it sure as hell did not warrant the historical matchup of the best two welterweights in the world. They're good. I can't even say they're the best two in the world. They might have been the best fight today. And in truth, Bill, Sal, it's not saying much. You know, a few comments about my not giving guys credit. People say, you don't know real boxing. That one caller that called up and said, what does he expect everybody to get bloody? He brings in Hagler and Leonard, and he says, that wasn't a bloody fight. You know, so you can't expect guys to go out there and do that all the time. And you know, and he just kind of more or less was an extension of that continuous comparison on PBC between Leonard and Hearns. Now, comparing that fight to Hagler and Leonard, or Leonard and Hearns, at worst, you have the third greatest middleweight of all time against the Olympic gold medal winner, who prior to that fight fought Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran twice, Benitez. Afterwards, he fights Donny Lalonde. Hagler fought Mugabe. He beat Duran. He beat Minter. So you know something? Those guys already had a Hall of Fame resume before they met each other. One goes up and wins the title at light heavyweight. Not just a paper title either. You know, with the exception of Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, and Vladimir Klitschko, I can honestly say, in this era, there is nobody that I actually feel comfortable in saying right now that they would be a star in any other era. There's some good guys who might become greats, but not right now. You know, those three guys that I mentioned, Floyd Mayweather, yes, safety first, but you know, Floyd was a master at what he did. If you push him, Floyd would stand and fight. The great part about Floyd was the build-up to the fights. He never did just enough to get by. He actually, you know, educated his opponents. He schooled them. He was a masterpiece. Klitschko, he would treat his opponents like kids in his prime. He was boring. People say, oh, safety first, but you know what? You had to get to him. And what did he do? He took a lot of big guys, good guys, and he just made them look average. Pacquiao was a showman. He's a machine. He's not so much anymore, but you know what? He's so pleasing to the eye, that punches, the angles he punches in, the amount of titles he won, and the amount of weight classes, the top names. You know, those are the only three guys that I can actually say, except maybe right now, Lomachenko, Triple G, Ward, and Kovalev might be. We'll find out in a year or two if they can live up to that status. But do you really see anybody else right now that's a superstar that you could say would thrive in any other era that deserve this praise they're getting?
I'll answer first, and Sal, you can go. You're three, Klitschko, Mayweather, Pacquiao. I think, you know, Klitschko would have survived in any era because of his size, and Mayweather, of course, because of his defensive skill. But Manny Pacquiao is the only one out of those three that I think would have, and still will go down as being remembered more than the other two, only because of the excitement level. I think the excitement level is a big part of the historical aspect of the sport of boxing. If you go back in the history of boxing, most of the fighters that we all remember were exciting, and that's what etches their memories in our minds. You know, Floyd Mayweather, I use this analogy all the time. You can't remember any of his fights. We all remember the money. We remember the undefeated. We don't remember his fights. They're all boring. Klitschko, too. The fight that sticks out in my mind with Klitschko was, in my opinion, his best performance was against Kubat Pulev. What I saw, that version of Klitschko, a guy that really didn't like Pulev, if that was the Klitschko that fought for his entire career, we would be talking about Vladimir Klitschko today the way we talk about Mike Tyson. I mean, that was a vicious guy. You know, his brother had a mean streak in him, you know, in Vitaly Klitschko. So, those three. Now, as far as Triple G, I think he would have survived in any round. Andre Ward is pissing his legacy away by avoiding the fights. The one thing I will give Keith Thurman credit for is that he does seem to be, you know, wanting to fight. Is he going to stand up and win these fights? No. I don't think he can beat Pacquiao. I don't think he could beat Timothy Bradley or Kell Brook. Forget it. You know, I just don't think. He beat up Danny Garcia, or didn't beat him up. He beat Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, you know, is slow. Keith Thurman has hand speed. He has movement. We all know that gives Danny problems. I just thought Danny would catch him and be a little more aggressive. He wasn't. Keith Thurman won the fight. Hats off to him. You know, just to comment on David, hey, I hope you're right, Dax. I hope we never see him again. What do you think about those three fighters, he said, Sal?
I think they would fare well in any era, but I don't know if they would be able to pound their chest. I don't think so. You know, the way they do in this era, this generation. You know, it's hard to see how you can plug them in. I think also that is not hard to see, and you and I can, all three of us on this phone could probably identify, is just that mental frame of mind, the warrior mentality, the, you know, I'm going to win no matter what it takes to do so. And you know, it wasn't safety first, it was just urgency that, hey, I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to come out swinging and be effective in any way, shape, or form that I can. I'm not talking about going out there intentionally losing your brain cells and using your chin to break their hands. No, I'm talking about just the sense of urgency to win, that you're putting it on the line. The prize is worth the price. And those fighters seem like they're willing to pay a price to be something special, to be something that, hey, we're talking 30, 40 years later of some of these great fighters, and because we can remember those fights. Some of the fights today, we will not be talking about 30, 40 years from now.
No.
Well, 30, 40 years from now, I'm going to be a little old man. I hope you're talking.
Dax, I got a question for you, Dax. You know, in years past on this show, and I'm sure if I had, you know, a couple of months to go back and pull the footage and replay it for you, you have been an advocate for fighters that are not doing well after their career, a la, you know, some brain injuries and what have you. And, you know, as a result, what's happened in the sport is this safety first attitude. And probably because, like I said last week, you know, us as human beings, we've become bigger, faster, stronger based on nutrition and methods and stuff, but I feel we've become mentally weak. All of us, you know, I'm just saying, you know, everybody, oh, you got this, oh, go get medication, you know, whatever, all right? But let me ask you this. You know, you seem riled up over the last 6 months about a lot more of these fighters with the safety first attitude, and it kind of contradicts the, you know, the old Dax. Well, not the old Dax of today. I meant the previous Dax. I got to be careful now that the fans are. I'm so glad they're labeling you the old man instead of me. And but do you think? But do you think that there has to be a happy medium? I mean, how do we respond to that? Well, because obviously I'm in agreement with you. I don't want to see anybody. Although I want to see the knockout, dragout excitement of the fights, like I was talking about with Sal, where you're standing in front of the TV or and you're watching, or you stand in ringside and you're watching. You sit down during the minute break to recover, like you just were in the fight. I mean, those fights we don't have anymore. I mean, what's the happy medium? How do you respond to that?
Listen, this is a sport. Nobody forces, irregardless of, and another thing I always say is that, you know, boxing has always been a means to an end. You know, it's always thrived in times when nobody had money, but you know what? People would go pay to see the fights. They were barely able to put food on the table, but you know what? They would find, 30, 40 cents to go see the fights as some entertainment, and guys would be able to go out there. Guys that were, you know, poorly skilled, and they'd make a few dollars for this entertainment. That's human nature. But you know something? Nobody forces you to become a fighter. A lot of these guys that are fighters today had other opportunities to do other things. You know, just like this weekend where they want to talk about, oh, but he never graduated high school continuously. You know, the announcers don't even believe what they're saying three quarters of the time. As far as the safety first, a lot of that has to fall on the responsibility of the corner and the referees of knowing when to say enough. We got to stop this. It's getting out of control. Take a closer look at the fighters. That's your job. That's what you're there for. That's your job. The fighter's job is to fight. That's what this is. It's a hurt sport. It's not a game. You don't play boxing. It's real. Everybody knows this. They criticize the guys that take the too much of a safety first approach. But you know something? When you're in the gym, you're doing that work. It's your trainer's job to make sure that you are learning both aspects of the game, that your offense is just as good as your defense. You know, people can get butthurt, and you know, butthurt all they want, you know, on how I will criticize, and maybe Bill was just saying, maybe it kind of sounds like I'm being a little bit of, you know, hypocritical on what you want, but you know, on which way I want it. You know, there is the happy medium. The happy medium is you go out there, you do your job. Last week, I don't eat fast food, but I went to my son's friend's house, and they're all eating McDonald's, and I says to him, I says, oh, wow, that's a lot of double cheeseburgers, and they said, oh, these are Big Macs. I'm looking at the wrappers. I said, whoa. You know, when I was a kid, the Big Mac was a Big Mac. It wasn't a double cheeseburger with a little bit of lettuce and some sauce on there. So everything has changed. When I grew up, I didn't grow up 10 to 20 years ago. I'm not talking about how these younger guys want to sit there and be try and prove their point. And everybody wants to beat their chest nowadays. There's a time you can beat your chest that's well-deserved. There's a time you're not. But these young fans want to beat their chest as if they're these experts, the YouTubers, the social media guys, you know, the chat room guys that, you know what, oh, how can you know about Ray Robinson? There wasn't footage of him. How can you know about this guy? There wasn't footage of him. And they're right to, you know, you have to, you know, say yes, there is, but, you know, a lot of guys, even younger, when I was young, maybe Bill, when you were young, Sal, you were young, we never wanted to listen to people before us who knew. We had to see for ourselves. That's part of the youth. But when I was a kid, right, you know, when I was a kid, this is what I had to look forward to. Every year growing up when I was in the sport, you know, like Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., Pepino Cuevas, Azuma Nelson, Duran, Jeff Chandler, Marlon Starlin, Roy Jones Jr., Salvador Sanchez, Danny Little Red Lopez, Howard Davis Jr., Tommy Hearns, Julian Jackson, Aaron Pryor, Terry Norris, Pernell Whitaker, Michael Spinks, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Larry Holmes, Bob Starling, Billy Costello, the list goes on and on and on. When you go in there, you have defensive geniuses. Roy Jones in his prime hardly ever got hit. Pernell Whitaker was a defensive master. Terry Norris put on shows. Ray Leonard could do it all. Tommy Hearns was the knockout artist. Howard Davis Jr. was so well-rounded. These were guys that went out there, and they were the complete set. And you had some that were just face-first warriors. That's what they did. That was their mentality. That's how they went about it. That's what made them great. But the other guys, they became great in their own ways. But you know something? They were all out there for the same purpose. They were all chasing the same dream. They were all chasing the greatness. It was great to be paid. It is prize fighting. But they all wanted that greatness. They wanted that spot in history. And if it came time to say, you know what? It's not working out. They had different levels to be placed on. They had mid cards. They had better matchups. Some of them, we know the condition they are in now, and some of them, like a Ray Leonard, like a Marlon Starlin, you'd never even know they were ever fighters because they're in such great condition. The guys today, it's not about that. It's about the O. Angel Garcia wants his son to retire because of an O. You know, those guys speak for themselves. It wasn't about the zero. It was the dream. I dare anybody to compare anybody from this era, even the top, other than Floyd Mayweather, to sit there and tell me how this era is better than just the guys I named. And that's just a small handful.
Yeah, and you could go further than that. Let's go to the
absolutely.
No, you go
the 80s when I grew up in the early 90s.
I know. And before that, Jake LaMotta, Willie Pep, Sugar Ray Robinson, Tony Zale, Rocky Graziano,
Rocky Graziano.
Right? I mean, and before that, Gene Tunney, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's why I always say to people, if you came up to me in 1985 and you said, hey, Bill, do you think that you're witnessing the last great era of boxing? I would laugh at them. I go, what, these guys? I would have said then, because of what I thought about the previous generations, I would have said, what, these guys? These guys, the names that you just mentioned, I didn't think that they were the last. I would never have thought that they were a great generation.
Never.
But today I do. I realize. And I agree with you, Dax. I don't think today, even the youth of today, will look back at these fighters and be able to say that they were it was a great era. You can't. The pool of fighters is much smaller. It's like a kiddie pool. Hey, I like that. You know, we used to have a pool of fighters. Now we got a kiddie pool of fighters, you know? And I just want to make one other comment about the McDonald's. You know how old I am. When McDonald's came out, right, one of the first McDonald's in New York was right near my house in Long Island, right? And here's the choice. Big Mac. What the hell is that? All you had. You had a choice. And it was mostly to go. It was a little place. You didn't sit there and eat. You got your what they called a sack of burgers. And you would have a choice of a cheeseburger, a regular burger, a cheeseburger, or a French fry, one size. This was only one size. And I think the shakes, I don't even think the shakes were out originally. I think the shakes came...
No.
Later. So you didn't even have a Big Mac. Now you go in there and it was just called McDonald's. Now it's called a restaurant, which, come on, man.
I know, right? Well, it's like the old days. I prefer to Burger King or I prefer to Wendy's over McDonald's. And Wendy's came out with the Wendy's Triple. I don't think there's a Wendy's Triple that size.
Hey, do you remember
right.
Carol's? Carol's used to be what Burger King is. That's who bought Carol's.
Yes, they were the company that franchised out.
Right.
But they owned other fast food places.
But you're right. The giant Big Mac that they're trying to sell now is the size of the Big Mac. What the Big Mac used to be.
It was a metaphor. It was a comparison of, you know, something, the way things have changed, and even the mindset. You know, I ask people all the time, especially the young people, are you a boxing fan or are you a fight fan? There is a difference.
Hey, it's like this. I was looking on my dog. You know, we get 50-pound bags of dog food, right? So it used to buy a 50-pound bag of dog food. Then all of a sudden, it went to 46 pounds. The same the bag that you were buying for the same price was 46 pounds. Well, now they have the nerve to market it. On the label, it says 4 extra pounds for free. So you're back to 50. You know, it's like, wait a minute. We used to buy 50-pound bags. Now we're buying 46-pound bags. Now you're telling us you're giving us 4 pounds extra for
house,
nothing?
One thing we always have is ice cream. I'm a big, you know, ice cream is my business. And I'm looking at
it one day,
and I tell my son, I said, you know what? I've been getting ripped off for quite some time now. He goes, why, Dad? What do you mean? This is not a half gallon of ice cream. What do you mean? I said, this is a quart and a half.
That's what they did, Dax. You're right. Edie's ice cream every day. They get
all
the
of it is. A quart and a half. What happened to the half gallon?
That's right. They do the same thing.
They think we're stupid.
I know. Well, we are, because they put it in the same spot, you know, and I discovered it by accident.
I just happened to be looking at it. And I'm like, wow, this isn't a half gallon.
Hey, listen, when was the last time you opened up a bag? I don't eat junk food that much anymore, because I'm too old, but when was the last time you opened up a big bag of potato chips and you got to go down three quarters of the way?
Mr. Galateri.
Listen, you got to go three quarters of the bag before you can even see the first chip. The rest of the bag is filled with that.
You got this huge bag.
You can fit a baby in it, and there's friggin' 9 chips in the bottom. Come on.
Back to the sport, you know. Like I said, I ask all the time, are you a boxing fan or are you a fight fan? There's a difference. This weekend, for example, what you should be excited about is Clarissa Shield against the Bottles. This is history. Okay? More than Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman, which I understand, the two undefeated welterweights. It's been a long time since that's happened. Well, since, I think, Corte and De La Hoya. But, this is history. You have a history-making back-to-back Olympic gold medal winner. She's going to be headlining, the first female to headline the Showtime card. You know, and boxing, female boxing's not what it used to be. Clarissa Shields, make no mistake, she can fight. She's an elite caliber fighter. But fight fans don't care about that. Boxing fans care about that. Boxing fans should be excited that Patty Barnes, the Irish Olympian, is going to be fighting this weekend. Khan Sheehan, the 203-13 guy, is fighting this weekend. Boxing fans, you know, when I talk about the desire and the love for the fight, I spoke to you about this kid off air before, Bill. Joseph Landeros, out of Riverside, California. He's 6-0. All his fights have been in Mexico. Why? Because he just turned 16 last month. But, you know, Landeros was a sensational amateur. He never went to the Olympics, but he was nationals. He won the silver gloves. You know, this kid's a dream chaser. His family doesn't need the money because I'm not going to say they're wealthy, but you know what? At what he's making right now, it's costing them money to have this kid fight. You know, he's not making enough to cover everything. He doesn't have a big promoter. But, you know, Joseph Landeros is also a full-time student in school. He's a straight-A student. He shares his report cards with the public when they come out. He shows them, you know, this is the dream chaser. This is the kid that, you know, he wants to go out there. He wants the glory. He wants to live his dream. But, you know, he's trying to do everything the right way. We don't have the dream chasers anymore. We got the guys that want to get paid. They want to keep the O. When the O is gone and the ratings start dropping and the words overrated always comes out, you know what? Then the career is over. We fleeced the public. I gave it a try. I didn't give it my best. And that's what we have today, just like that Big Mac. And that's why I'm so hard on the sport. And the guys who don't understand this, the younger guys, are the same guys that think that 30 is old.
Hey, listen.
That's a great analogy.
No, and that's why... that's why they said, too bad youth is wasted on the young. You know, I mean, you make some great points.
And they don't have the emotions either anymore. You know, when I was a kid, the first time my uncle, I didn't know grown men cry. You know, when you're a kid, you know, your dad, you know, you look at them, you don't know they cry. And, I remember, you know, with my dad in the basement watching the old Marciano films with his friends. He had them on projector. You know, we put them against the basement wall. You know, we lived in the city. We didn't have a theater. But then what happened was, I remember being with my uncle, and we're sitting there, and we're watching Trevor Burbick against Larry Holmes. And, you know, I mean, Larry Holmes against Muhammad Ali. And I was a great Muhammad Ali fan, as everybody was. You know, Muhammad Ali was boxing. And I'm looking over, and, you know, he's trying to hide, and he's crying. I see, you know, tears are coming down his face, and I'd never seen that before. And I was a little nervous. I'm like, why is he crying? And I realized, you know, what he's seeing there. Not that he loved Ali, but he's seeing this hero, this bigger-than-life image, you know, just being beaten down and not knowing when to quit. And, you know, this is something that affected him deeply. Today, that love isn't there for the sport today. It's not there for the sport today. It's not there for the fighters today. The sport isn't loved today. The people don't love the fighters today. And I'll be honest with you, I honestly believe, and I can't speak for them all, but 70% of the fighters don't love the sport today.
Half of them don't follow it. You know, when I talk to fighters, I'm like, who's your favorite? Yeah, well, I really don't follow it. I just train and fight, you know. It's like, okay.
Exactly. I went to the gym for the when Brian Jennings was going to fight Arthur Spoka, and I was going for an open workout. and it was snowing like crazy that day, but I drove down there anyway because I had to be in the city. And I go into the gym. I didn't get a notification. They canceled at the last minute. They had about 7 or 8 fighters there. And I'm talking to a couple of the guys, heavyweight guys. They're training, and they're telling me. So I'm like, I asked them, what do you think about Jennings? What do you think about Spilka? Do you think either one of these guys would have a chance against Klitschko? 4 guys, who each of them had over 10 pro fights, had no idea who the hell Vladimir Klitschko was, no idea who Brian Jennings was, and no idea who Arthur Spilka was.
It's a shame. And you know, I had said before, you know, the thing with other sports is you're born into it, your football, baseball, whatever, basketball, and you become a lifelong fan. In boxing, we've become, but I'm not so sure that the generation today, and I don't want to sound like those young whippersnappers kind of a guy, but I just don't think the fighters are creating lifelong fans. I think that, you know, there's a novelty aspect. And the fans are going to go on, especially the attention span of a lot of the younger generation is very short-lived. I also believe that that's why MMA is so popular. It goes quicker. The fight's over faster. You know, they're not breaking down opponents like boxing does. And we're not creating lifelong fans. And down the road, I think that that's going to hurt the sport. But anyway, Dax, I appreciate your insight. And you know, I feel for you and the age thing that you know, you're going through now. Don't worry about it. Hey, just remember one thing, Dax. Age is just a number, my man. Don't let it get you down. You know, and just ignore all those negative things people referring to you as, you know, like old man and stuff like that. It goes away. Don't worry about it, brother.
One last question to both you guys before I go. What was it like going to see fights before there was TV and radio? How'd you get the news?
I don't know, Sal. Why don't you answer that question? Because you're the one that used to have to write with a chisel and a slate.
The black and
Bill
white fight in the parlor.
That punch quicker than an Amir Khan trick on the water bottle.
That's great stuff, my man. We'll listen to you later in the week.
All right, everybody, enjoy the day.
Oh God!
Take care.
He really threw that one back at us, huh? But
that was getting hit with the in between the eyes with the bull barrel.
That's true. Hey, listen,
that's before my parlor talk.
I know. Don't get into that, because then we have to define what the hell a parlor is, you know. But
okay, go ahead.
This day, March 6th, in 1999, David Reed wins a 12-round decision over Laurette Bundavi to win the WBA World Junior Middleweight title. Took place in Atlantic City. On this day in 1976, Wilfred Benitez wins a 15-round decision over Antonio Cervantes to win the WBA World Junior Welterweight title. Took place in San Juan, Puerto Rico. On this day in 1987, Antonio Esparragosa knocks out Stevie Cruz in the 12th round to win the WBA World Featherweight title. Took place in Fort Worth, Texas. On this day in 1910, Sal was at his first. Oh, no, wait. Oh, I can't read. On this day in 1910, Johnny Calhoun knocks out Jim Kendrick in the 19th round to retain his world bantamweight title. Took place in Louisiana. On this day in 2004, Diego Corrales wins a 12-round split decision over Yoel Casamayora to win the vacant WBO super featherweight title at Foxwoods in Connecticut. I was ringside for that one. And on this day in 1953, Billy Graham wins his 100th fight with a 12-round decision over Joey Gardello at Madison Square Garden in New York City. And just to point out about that significance.
Wow.
That was my favorite word today. The significance of that fight. Billy Graham winning his 100th fight against Joey Gardello. These are two Hall of Famers. I mean, when you get a win over a guy that, you know, this wasn't, hey, I want to win my 100th, so get the guy selling popcorn, throw him in a pair of trunks, put some gloves on him, I want to get my win. This is a guy that went after another historical fighter. So, I mean, that's the big difference in the sport. These are guys that wanted to prove something, and the only way they could prove it was to go seek out the best in it.
But, you're right. You're right.
I just want to remind everyone of a couple of things. One, specifically, on Wednesday, not only are we going to have Boxing Hall of Famer Larry Hazard join us, and we're going to be doing our Blast from the Past, which is going to feature Chris Eubank Sr. As a request from a listener, but I'm going to get you update on some comments that Floyd comments that Oscar De La Hoya has made about the potential Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor fight, which is out there now. I have some comments on that, as well as the latest news. You know, Floyd Mayweather, I don't know if you guys caught this, but Floyd Mayweather was in Europe, in England, for the David Haye, Tony Bellew fight. And, you know, everybody, well, let me just say this. You know what the Brits think of Floyd Mayweather? You know what the Brits think of Floyd Mayweather, Sal?
No. What do they think about him?
They burned his car while it was parked outside.
No way. No.
I'm going to give every. No, it is. It's funny. It's funny because, you know, Floyd thinks everyone loves him, and, you know, he parks his car and they burn it up. I'll give you guys the lowdown on that. And the robbery, why Floyd's out partying, celebrating his 40th birthday. He was the victim of a robbery. So these are all the...
I guess they don't like him as much.
Yeah, these are all his fans, because they're the ones that know, you know, instead of stabbing him in the back. But any final thoughts?
Follow him and flip this. Go ahead.
Any final thoughts, Sal?
No, I tell you what, it was a good recap of the fight. I just, you know, you can't beat it. You can't beat it to death. It was a good fight. It wasn't a great fight. We're talking about the Keith Thurman-Danny Garcia fight. And, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. And David Lemieux has a heck of a challenge. I think it's going to be a good fight. I like David Lemieux. I've been a Lemieux fan. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Lemieux fight. We'll give our breakdowns and predictions on Friday's show leading up to that. And like I had announced earlier, we will not be doing a post-fight show because I'll be ringside, so don't forget to get your tickets and come on up to the Turning Stone Resort and Casino and watch the fight with me, because I'm going to be there and I'm going to love it. I wish you were coming up, you know, but...
Me too. I wish I could. And, you know, we're just starting our busy season with the spring breakers and everything else, so we've been getting slammed. And but otherwise, you know what? I almost could just hop on a plane and get out of here. But
no, you better let me know.
It might be a little tough.
Yeah, you better let me
know. I'll let you know today.
You better let me know like now. But, hey, listen, don't forget, we're going to be giving you some updated information on the Billy C Week down on St. Simon's Island. It's going to take place in the middle of August. And we're going to be doing some golfing. We're probably going to set up an event. We might even have a boxing event there that week. So we're working on a lot of stuff. So stay tuned. We'll make an official announcement. But get your name on the list right now. If I got me an email.
Train now.
Yeah, no. Well, actually, yeah, you might see Sal in the ring, but that's a whole other
ballgame. We might do a little exhibition.
But definitely drop me an email now so we can get you some info. Billy at Talkin' Boxing, TalkinBoxing.com. And don't forget, it's going to be a great thing for the whole family. So we'll give you places to stay and all that stuff. So drop me an email, and we'll be making the official announcement very soon. But until then, make sure you tune in. Wednesday morning, same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na